Hello, and welcome to Plants and Things. My name is Katie, and I'm a hobbyist gardener, and I'm super excited to get to talk to you today about pest management in your garden. It's a topic that I'm sure that you want to learn more about now as we're getting into the warmer months, and not only are you getting to enjoy your garden, but so are all of the pests, as they have been called. Any animals that are eating your food before you can, I consider a pest. No, I mean, they're not all pests. I mean, some of them you do want in your garden. Like, I love bunnies, but whenever I go outside and see them munching on my summer squashes, I'm kind of like, guys, why? And there's a couple of things that you can do to kind of help with pest management. As far as pest management for like deer and bunnies, I prefer not to use anything that could harm the ecosystem. So what I try to do is I try to companion plant the things together that will help each other. So for example, planting something that they don't like the smell of, like basil or something like that. You can even make like sprays that you can spray on your plant that smell citrusy or strong that those animals don't like. Another option for that specific kind of pest, and I hate using the word pest, but for a rabbit or deer or a mammal, I guess I should say, for a mammal, you can use something that like a fence that will be a physical barrier. I've seen nets used for birds, which I think is a fantastic idea. I have not done that yet, but I have used fencing, like goat panels, chicken wire, things like that. Those work well as physical barriers. The downside to those, though, are that it's a physical barrier for you as well. And I think that's a little bit annoying for me that I have to like get through the barrier in order to get to my food as well. But it, you know, at least it'll be there. 'Cause there's nothing more annoying than waiting patiently for like a tomato to ripen, just to go outside to see a turtle has eaten it. No, it is kind of heartbreaking a little bit to go out there and be like, oh man, I missed it. They got to it before I did. But that's part of it. I mean, I do like the fact that the wildlife in my area enjoys my garden as well. However, whenever for example, I've run into the issue of like bunnies eating all of my greens, and I'm like, well, I wanted those too, guys. So yeah, I would recommend trying for that, spraying it with a mixture of something that smells like citrus, or you can even try coffee grounds or cinnamon. Things that smell bad, but that will not harm your soil. So something I want to talk about a little bit is making sure that you have healthy soil. So that's where I think pest management starts. Because whenever you think about pests, it's going to be something that is going to harm your plant or eat your food or your crops, or, you know, if you're growing flowers or something, that too. And something that is big right now that we're in June, and I'm so thankful I haven't had a as big of an issue this year so far, but June beetles, typically they do come out in July here, but I remember last year they did start coming out in the last bit of June. I saw one on my Japanese maple today and I was like, no. I was like, no, how dare you. But I think that the beginning, or where you should start pest management, is in the soil. So start with having a healthy soil that is rich in organic matter. Healthy soil does promote strong plant growth and it makes them less susceptible to pests and diseases. So, you know, if you think about it, whenever you are running low on like vitamins or minerals, that causes problems for your body, just like it would cause problems for a plant if they don't have like the specific things that they need in order to thrive. So like if they don't have enough nutrients, and I talked about this previously, like toxicity and deficiencies in plants. Too much of the nutrients is a bad thing, but also too little is. So focusing on having a healthy soil. So something that I know people do, I struggle with it because I have a hard time getting enough compost to do it, but something that you can do is like having your own compost pile and then composting and putting it on your garden. You might not even need any additional soil amendments if you compost really well. I struggle with that, so if you're not able to, you might have to also use a little bit extra stuff for your plants, like I do, like adding some organic matter, but also, what is that called? Not compost, it's the other thing that you can put on your plants in the soil that helps them get nutrients. Fertilizer, that's what it's called. Sorry, I don't know why I forgot what that was called. Yeah, you can also use fertilizer, which I talked about that previously, and how, you know, you can choose which one's right for you, because there's synthetic and then there's, more organic options as well. So you can choose what works best for you in your garden. So definitely start there. And another thing that you can do is companion planting. So that is where you plant things together to help repel pests. Like I was talking about, like the basil, or you can plant marigolds around your vegetable beds. And that can help deter pests as well. So that is something that I've done in my garden as well. And I haven't planted enough marigolds, I don't think. I need to plant more. But my garden's really big, so having that many marigolds is kind of difficult, to be honest. But next year, I will plan to do that next year. But they're beautiful. I mean, not only do you have like beautiful blooms all season long, it's also helping like, you know, keep away pests. Another thing that it kind of ties into the healthy soil, rotating crops can also help break the pest life cycle. So if you have a pest that like a specific insect or something like that that is targeting a specific plant, then you can rotate the crop, which will hopefully help disrupt the breeding cycle and reduces infestations of the bugs, or you know, the pests, whatever it is. So crop rotation is another good option. I do want to talk a little bit about that because I find that very interesting. So not only is crop rotation good for the soil because it reduces, like, so for example, if you're planting tomatoes or something that is in the nightshade family in one section of your garden, that is going to take a lot of nutrients out of the soil because they're very heavy nitrogen consumers. So then you want to rotate that. But not only that, there are like the hornworm that, you know, they eat tomatoes. So if you keep it in that one spot, not only is it more susceptible to different infestations of like pests, but also it's susceptible to getting nutrient deficiencies. So crop rotating is good to help with multiple different things. I also wanted to jump into talking about watering. So overwatering can create a moist environment that attracts pests, but not just that, it can allow like fungal diseases to take over in your garden. Something really interesting that made me think of is corn. Sometimes corn will get that if it's very humid and moist here, it'll start growing fungi. But that is like a delicacy. That is something in this area, at least in Appalachia, that people actually want to have happen, which I think is so interesting. But yeah, it can, in certain crops, it can be a good thing if that's what you want to grow, is like that fungi on like the ear of corn. To have, I'm trying to remember what it's called because I can't remember. My mom told me a while ago. It's okay. It'll come back to me later and maybe I'll like tell you about it. But actually, you know what? Let's look it up really quick. I'm here recording. I can look it up. Fungi. Corn. Corn smut. Oh, that's what it's called. Yes. Okay. So corn smut is a plant disease caused by, I'm not going to be able to pronounce that, but it's apparently a delicacy too. So, and that happens in Appalachia whenever there's like a lot of rain and it's very humid. It's very humid here. And that, let me tell you, fungi loves that. So yeah, I would recommend to avoid overwatering, because not only does that stress out the plant and makes it more susceptible to plants, but it also does allow for things that really enjoy the moisture environment to set up and grow there, like fungus or fungi. So I do recommend also, one thing that you can do for pests is also checking regularly and removing them whenever you see like eggs or larvae or something like that. There is a beetle that, the squash beetle that was on my squash plants last year, they did a number on them, and I would have to go out there like these little round beads of eggs, and you can like brush them off or pick them off and get rid of them. I've seen people like put them in baggies so that they like hopefully don't hatch somewhere else, but yeah, that's one option too. You can also utilize beneficial insects, so you can plant things to attract insects like ladybugs, lacewings, or praying mantises to your garden. Or I've even seen people buy them online. I haven't done that yet, but that is definitely on my list of things that I want to try in the future, is like purchasing maybe beneficial insects. I'm always super careful whenever it comes to introducing new things into the ecosystem here. I want to make sure that it's something that's already here. I have found praying mantises in my garden before, and I get so excited anytime I see them, but some of them are like super good at camouflaging and they like are hard to see. There's that one that looks like it's literally a twig and it is so cool and I love it. But yeah, planting things in your garden to bring those in, because like ladybugs and praying mantises, they'll help eat pests in your garden. So will spiders. And I know not everybody likes to hear that, but I actually love having spiders here because they really help with like the gnats and the flies. I'm so thankful that we don't have like a huge fly problem, because that can happen for sure. So spiders are definitely good for that if you have a fly problem. You can also, I did talk about this a little bit earlier, so you can make your own pest control solutions. Something that I've tried using in the past is like neem oil or something with like castile soap, but I would recommend being careful and making sure that like you read all of the instructions and really consider like what you want to put on your food before you do it. I know some things, if you do want to buy something pre-made, they need to be applied so many days before you eat it. And if you want to use like a pesticide or insecticide, that's completely up to you. I don't feel comfortable using that in my garden, because if you think about it, that's literally a poison that you're putting out there that's meant to kill insects, you know, the pests that you don't want there. Some of them aren't terrible. So, for example, I've seen some that they're... Oh, the beneficial nematodes, that's what I was trying to think of. So, it comes in like a little pouch, and the beneficial nematodes, you spray it on your lawn, garden area, wherever you wanted it. And then these like little nematodes are supposed to eat the larva of the June beetles, or, you know, the pest in your garden before they even become the full bug, before they grow up and, you know, go to wreak havoc in your garden. They aren't really, they're not like a pesticide or an herbicide or anything like that. That's more of just like using a beneficial nematode in your soil. Something that does concern me with that is that we do have ground nesting bees, and I don't know if those nematodes, how they interact. I would love to see some research on that, because I don't know how they would select like which one is the one that you don't want in your garden, because I definitely want the ground nesting bees in my garden. And then I do recommend going out in your garden regularly and checking for any debris that could allow for pests, like if you have any rust spots on plants, I recommend pruning those, getting rid of those, to allow or to stop any spread of that disease. I did see some in my garden recently, and I pruned them, and you know, that's totally normal if that happens. That's nothing to be concerned about, but you definitely do want to stop that before it gets too out of hand. So that is what I wanted to talk to you about today, about pest management in your garden. I would love to hear more about like what worked well for you in your garden. Please feel free to message me or share that in the comments, because I definitely want to hear about that. Maybe I'll learn something that'll help me in my garden, or someone else will learn something as well. I hope that you did learn about something cool, like maybe the corn smut is something that you're going to be interested in. I do want to bring in a new segment. So I want to give you a fun fact about gardening every episode. So here's my new segment, drum roll please. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Fun facts. Did you know that there is more life in a handful of soil than there are people on Earth? That is so insane. Soil is full of diverse and intricate webs of organisms. Just one spoonful of healthy soil, and you can find billions of bacteria, fungi, protozoa, nematodes, earthworms, and other microscopic organisms. And those play such an important role in nutrient cycling, decomposition, soil structures, formation, and supporting plant growth. So just that little handful of soil has such a big impact on your health in your garden. All of that, those different things. So that's why whenever I talk about soil health, I'm talking about the health of all of those organisms that are inside of the soil, because it is living and it is really cool. I hope that you enjoyed that. And I am super excited to talk to you next week about more garden things. If you enjoyed this, please share it with someone who may benefit from it. I hope that you have a wonderful week ahead. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.